We are rapidly approaching Pentecost. And in a real sense, Pentecost is a feast that's about the wave offering. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Verse 15. 15. We've just completed in this. There are eight. Does everybody know there are eight feasts that are to be celebrated forever? That's what Leviticus 23 is. It's the only real thing that happens in time is the celebration of the feasts. Everything else is a pseudo event, something that man has made up to give meaning to a meaningless life. And these eight feasts are the set times. And each of them reveals more clearly a different aspect of the mystery, the one mystery. And this, the Feast of Pentecost, is really the same as the Feast of Passover, because it's connected by the counting of the Omer, which we didn't do this year. So now we're in verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you count, or shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now, remember the Feast of Passover is about the barley harvest. Whenever the barley harvest is mentioned in Scripture, it's about Pentecost. Whenever the wheat harvest is mentioned in Scripture, it's about Pentecost. Did I say that right?
No. Barley's Passover.
Barley's Passover, wheat is Pentecost. Barley is always the food of the animals. It's sort of like what we used to do with black-eyed peas. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. Now, the word wave is tenepah. And it's a specific, it's a big time deal word. And tenepah means it's translated a whole lot of different ways. It's translated as shaking, it's translated as waved, it's translated as shake, it's translated as offering, it's translated as lifting, it's translated as wielding. But fundamentally, the Feast of Pentecost is about this thing that transpires called tenupah in the Hebrew. You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. And this is the only offering in Scripture where leaven is permitted. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock and two rams. And they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offerings and their drink offerings. Even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. And ye shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and two lambs of the goat of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits. Okay, the act of waving is the act of shaking, and it's the act that says that it's the word that's translated in the New Testament as seismos. And in the New Testament, it says there shall be earthquakes in divers places. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean earthquakes. It's the word seismos in the Greek. And it means there shall be wave offerings in divers places, because the end of time is dependent on your apprehension of this wave offering. When you recognize and agree with the offering, that everything in your life and therefore everything in the universe is shaken, and you agree with it being shaken at this Feast of Pentecost. So really, and the shaking is what destroys everything, and the shaking destroys anything that you have placed confidence in. What have you got confidence in? The purpose of the Feast of Pentecost is to destroy your idolatry by the act of shaking, by the act of the wave offering. Now, let's look at some things. Let's look at what happens about Levites. Now, do you remember that everything is a parable? Israel, the nation of Israel, is just a parable of the church, a people called out of the world. Priests are a parable of the church. Priests aren't anything. Rabbis aren't anything. Levites aren't anything. Marriage isn't anything. There is nothing in time and space that is more important than any other thing. The crack houses, I was going to say in South Dallas, but like two blocks from here, are exactly the same in importance as the greatest missionary work or the greatest church. So they're exactly the same. There's nothing in time and space that's any more important than anything else. And so the act, everything is this shaking, this wave offering. Now, the thing that defines the church most clearly of all of the parables are the Levites. The things. Things is a good thing to call them. The things that define the church most clearly are the Levites. Because what? They have no inheritance in the land. They have no rights to themselves. They have no life of their own. Everything about a Levite is given up in service to the community, to the body. They are the perfect picture of what the church is supposed to be. Does everybody understand that? Just because we have Levites, Levites don't mean jack, just like rabbis don't mean jack. They're just the picture that we might see what the mystery is like. Now, when the Levites are offered, something wild happens. Let's go to Numbers 8. And this is a picture of you and I.
Yeah.
Verse 5. In the law, in the book of Numbers, it comes first Aaron lights the lamps, and then the cleansing of the Levites. Well, that's a whole other world. Verse 5, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them.
Get out of the front yard and close them.
And thus shalt thou do unto them, to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all of their flesh. Can't be a hair left on their flesh. Top of the head to the bottom of their feet. Let them shave all of their flesh. What's the meaning of the hair? What's the meaning of shaving? Why does a Levite... Huh? Every follicle of hair that you have on your body is a type of some false covering, some false idea that you have of what life is about. That's why... Oh, that's not a story. And let them shave all of their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. And they're clean by the cutting of the hair and the washing of water by the word, so that they are without idolatry. It's tough being a Levite. It's tough working for me. It's tough working for anybody, but it's anybody that doesn't permit you one second of idolatry. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock thou shalt thou take for a sin offering, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. Now, the word in verse 11, Aaron shall offer for an offering, the word offer is tenepa. And Aaron shall wave the Levites before the Lord for an offering. Now, the reason that they're waved, first of all, if they are waved, they were considered dead. Because nothing that isn't dead can be waved. Nothing that isn't dead can be a tenepa. So a Levite is considered dead, and they're offered or waved or shaken before the Lord. That's a picture of you. That happens in the Feast of Pentecost. The Levites were first waved or offered to the Lord on the Feast of Pentecost. And the act that every member of the nation of Israel laid their hands on the Levites, do you remember what that meant? It meant every member of the nation of Israel was identified with and became one with that death. And they accepted that they would be this wave offering that would shake them to their core. Every time, almost every time in the Old Testament, when the word shake is used, it's this word, tenepa. It's the wave offering that was given on the Feast of Pentecost. Let's go to Hebrews 10. No, let's not. Let's go to Hebrews 12.
The thing about the Levites being dead, I was just thinking, you know, if a mother has a son who ends up being a Levite, that's the only way to relate is as if he is dead, because he can't be a son anymore. And that led me to remember the thing about, you know, hate his mother and father and brother and own life also. It's like, see who's dead.
And there must be a Levite for the firstborn. And Levite takes the place of the firstborn so that you can have the illusion of raising a child.
But there really is a death.
Say that again.
There must be a Levite for the firstborn.
Because the firstborn belongs to God.
The firstborn belongs to God.
That was the deal, right? That's why he didn't kill.
That's why he didn't kill the
firstborn in Egypt.
Because of the Levites.
That's the deal.
This is all connected with the idea of chastening. If you be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then you're a bastard and not a son. If you flee in your mind chastisement, or physically, either one, doesn't matter. You were without chastisement, therefore you're a bastard and not a son. Now, verse 11, no chastening, chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth that peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The question is, how many times have you sold your birthright for a pot of red beans? How many times have you sold peace in any given moment in order to have some sustenance from some other source for a moment? For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that the burn that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that they that word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thirst through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now here's the part. Whose voice then shook the earth. The idea of shaking here is this tenepa, the wave offering. His voice caused the wave offering. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Aren't you sick and tired of giving importance to the things which can be moved when shaken? Aren't you sick unto death of giving breath to things which change? Did anybody see the ABC program last night on earthquakes? It was one of the best television shows I've ever seen. It was an hour-long show on earthquakes. And they had footage from all over the world that different home video cameras and other things had taken of earthquakes. The idea that everything in your life would be shaken, that the earthquake itself is the wave offering. What is it that you're protecting? What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that you're holding on to that will not stand the test of being shaken? That's your idolatry. Oh, but my idols are good and my idols are sincere. The Feast of Pentecost is understood as the feast of the celebration of the shaking of everything in your life. And the offering of the Levites is the type. Everybody understand that?
No, we read the thing about chastening because...
Chastening is shaking.
Is shaking.
Slow shaking.
Yeah.
The end comes, the shaking gets faster and faster until it ends up, till a wave offering ends up being in resonance with of the universe. And the wave offering is what brings time to an end. Amen? Okay, everybody understand that perfectly?
So like, I've just got this picture of, you know, sifting. It keeps getting sifted until it's so fine that it has to be swallowed past through that.
Sift, so that no flesh will adhere to the flour. Now, one of the things that's studied on the Feast of Readings for the Feast. By the way, we're not going to do it because we're not spiritual, but if we were spiritual, the rabbis, the Hasidim, in the ancient times, they fasted. Total was one of these really bad fasts for the day, the 24 hours before Pentecost, to study the Psalms of Pentecost, which are Psalm 18, Psalm 68, Psalm 98, and Psalm 110, and the last four chapters of the book of Isaiah. And they not only fasted from food and water, they fasted from sleep. And they stayed up all night with no water or feast or nothing, and studied those four Psalms and the last four books of, which are really the essence or the mystery of Pentecost. So if anybody wants to understand Pentecost completely or better than they do, they should read those four Psalms and the last four books of Isaiah. 18, 68, 98, 110. I studied the rebellion of Korah.
Oh, one of my personal favorites.
So let's go. Numbers 16.
One of my favorites.
Numbers 16. Well, there's two things they studied. They studied the rebellion of Korah and the budding of Aaron's rod. It's number 16 and number 17.
Korah.
18, 68, 98, 110, and the last four chapters of the book of Isaiah. Why don't we read like seven verses apiece as we go? So I don't want to read anymore.
Now Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the sons of Heleph, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spoke. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi.
Okay.
Serious issue.
Remember, these are all Levites that rebelled.
And Moses said,
Wait.
Just ponder that moment first.
Does anybody remember what happened to the censers that these guys used?
You know what happened to the sons of Levi? Is that the DDs? No.
Sons of Aaron.
Yeah,
offered the strange fire.
Yeah.
Aaron and Levi are two different people.
Had a beard.
Remember, there's something special about
censers are made of brass.
Oh, we made them into shields, mirrors. Made them into the altars. Beat them into the burn off the altar for the burn offering.
Brazen altar.
Brazen altar.
How many Levites were killed? Here. Well, let's read it. Go ahead.
And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. It seemeth but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel. Bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. And you stand before the congregation to minister unto them."
You understand what he's saying?
Yeah.
The Levites were the highest you could get in terms of calling. There was nothing else on the face of the earth that could be a higher calling than to be a Levite. Okay.
"And he hath brought thee near to him, and thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. But what is Aaron that ye murmur against him?" And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abraham.
Abraham,
the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? Kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, and given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up."
Mm-hmm. You know, they're really, these guys, these guys are sinning after the flesh. You know, they think that Moses has got a better deal than them. They think he's more important or something. It's just they're completely out of the way. They have no idea what they're talking about.
What more they got? They want both.
Well, they don't see that they're on top. They don't see that they're chief.
Verse 9 there, it says to bring you near to himself to the service of the tabernacle. What is that? That's just...
That's what Levites do. It's the service in the temple. Okay, verse 15.
And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, "Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." And Moses said unto Korah, "Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron, tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer." And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them until the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment."
They fell upon their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Moses rose up and went into Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He spake unto the congregation, saying, "Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah on every side, and David and Abraham came out and stood in the door of their tents, their wives and their sons and their little children. But Moses said, "Hereby you shall know the Lord hath sent me for these works, for I have not done them of my own mind."
Okay.
"If these men die the common death of all men, and be they visited after the visitation of all men, and the Lord hath not seen me
sent it.
Sent it. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth upon her mouth, and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, he shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder, and it was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow up us also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou fire yonder, for they are hollow. And the censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them a broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hollow, and they shall be as a sign to the children of Israel.
I don't know how many you've read, but you've read, you might as well read the next two.
And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censer wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, and to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said unto him by the hand of Moses.
Okay. Now, do you understand? The brazen altar is the altar of brass that's in the center of the courtyard, and it's where all of the offerings that are made with fire are offered on. You remember? So every time Israel looked on this brazen altar that was overlaid with brass, the brass was made from the censers of these rebels. Okay?
So how many censers was it? 250 or 250 plus all the ones from all the people that went
there? No, it's just the leaders got it.
Just the leaders.
They had the censers. So it's 250 censers. All right.
I was just thinking a couple minutes ago, one of the ones we read about our Lord is a consuming fire, and all this verbiage in here about coming close to the Lord, and he lets you come close to him. The idea that this fire was inside the tabernacle, and that really are, at that time they were talking about physically coming close, and the idea of everybody standing in the doorway in this accusation thing, and then a fire comes out and God just reaches out and consumes it. It's just some heavy stuff, scary stuff.
But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord."
Now, look, think about that. People saw all these people dead. And what was their response? It's Moses and Aaron's fault. We're victims of Moses and Aaron.
And in 19 it says, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation.
All right. Well, let's keep your that place and go to 1 Corinthians 10 a minute. This passage in 1 Corinthians shows us that everything that happened there was a parable or a type so that we might see. And so real quickly, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers, all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples or parables or types to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur as ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Therefore there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to all men. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Okay, go back. Remember, all this happened in the Feast of Pentecost. So this shaking opened the earth and swallowed. So this was the offering, the wave offering. The shaking. Who's reading?
Okay. It came to pass when the congregation was...
Remember, whenever it says it came to pass, pay attention. Something, if it's good, is extremely good. If it's bad, it's extremely bad.
And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Israel, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, thou may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun.
Okay. They had to take fire from the altar, and the altar, any fire that was on the altar was bathed in blood. You understand that? Okay.
And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the other four.
14,700 died. And Aaron ran between the dead and the living with a censer in his hand. He became the intercessor.
And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed.
Okay, does everybody understand this? Can you understand complaining a little better?
I want to do that, especially during this time.
Can you understand judgment a little better? Can you understand judging elders a little better? Well, it doesn't mean that if you're an elder, you shouldn't be tested. But testing and judging is the word katakrino. It's judging down. And that's what they were doing here. They were katakrino. They were judging them down. Testing is fine. Everybody should be tested. That's why I continue to tell you, if you have, man, argue with me, read, study, you know, push it to the wall. But don't judge down.
It's such cowardice. I mean, it's just like sitting in the cheap seats and I'm not going to play the game, but I'm going to take pot shots.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not going to enter the battle myself. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines. It's like these people go and yell about the Cowboys not doing it right.
Right.
I don't know if this is. What's really getting me is this guy Korah looking at Moses and saying, I mean, he's coming from a place of saying, Moses has something better than I do. I lack something and I want what it is that he has. He's taken something upon himself that's better than what I have. The idea that Carl wasn't seen correctly is really whacking me to think, well, shit, I don't have to do what all he says.
Well, I mean, don't put me in the state.
Well, no, but that's what I have to relate to, because in my day-to-day walk, that's what I have to relate to. And the idea that I would think that you've got something better than I do is crazy.
Amen.
I mean, you've got it worse than I. And I keep thinking about this thing, he who would be chief among you, let him be the servant of all. The idea that Korah is looking only at the flesh.
Okay, this also happened. The next verse, chapter 17, happened on the Feast of Pentecost.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you.
This is the second confirmation, third confirmation. First was the earth opened up and swallowed up the rebels. The second confirmation was is that the plague killed 14,700 people. And the third confirmation is that this dead rod is going to bud. Okay?
And it shall come to pass that this man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom, and will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness.
And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron from the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds.
Can you believe what that must be? This is, there's this dead piece of wood that's not planted anywhere. And it's laying there, and all of a sudden they come in, and boom, it's not only budded leaves, blossom, but now almonds on it.
And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away the murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything more in the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we all be consumed with dying?
Okay. Now, remember the things that are in the Ark of the Covenant, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember what's in the Ark?
Manna, the law, and this rod.
Okay. You understand that each one of the things, the manna, the law, and the rods, all are the fruit of complaining. Okay? Now, the manna was, the pot of manna is in there because when Israel complained about their lot, they were given manna as a, not as a reward,
to shut them up.
God got tired of their whining.
Great pacifier.
When the table of the law is there, not as a reward for Israel, but because they were going towards idolatry. And the Aaron's rod is in there, not because of any good thing, it's because of their murmuring. And so what happens? Those elements are in the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark is sealed on a golden mercy seat overlain with the wings of the cherubim. So, and then it is sealed with seven seals. And the ark, if you read the scriptures, you'll see that the ark is no longer in some cave in Jordan. The ark is in the temple in the New Jerusalem. If that ark is ever opened, the destruction that you've seen here will be like Ned in the first reader.
What does that mean? The lowest.
Because when that ark is opened, time ends. Because all that's in the ark is judgment.
So each of those is proof that each man is...
Right. And if we are not seated in... The only place to sit down in the temple is on the mercy seat. If we're not seated under the wings of the cherubim, when that ark is opened, we are consumed. It's as though we never existed. Doesn't matter one iota what you've said, what your little words are, where your little attendance shit is. What matters is where you are seated in your heart. Are you seated on the mercy seat? Now, the ark is opened. Those seven seals are opened by understanding them. God is waiting for a body of people to understand those seals so that they're opened. And the moment they're opened by understanding by a body of people, time ends. And everyone that is not seated on the mercy seat dies. Does everybody understand this a little bit? This isn't like kindergarten stuff. This is big stuff.
So if you're not seated on the mercy seat, if you're not in the Sabbath, then you are
in debt.
In the law, trying to do the law, living by the law.
You're trying to get
and bitching and not accepting what's given every day as the middle life. And you are
trying to get right
against the right priest.
You are Korah.
You are
Korah.
You are history. You are
Korah. Anyway, please, this is what the Feast of Pentecost is about. It's the shaking of everything, the tenepah. Okay?
And there's really nobody to be afraid of. There's nothing to do. There's nothing, you know. It's real wild.
It's like if you are afraid of something, if there is something to do,
yeah.
Those are all the things that...
Yeah.
Those are all Korah.